Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. This Friday, September 1st, Warren's new 7-inch condensing Flesh will be out. So please make sure to go stream it, go order a record, support the band, support the label. They're awesome. Also, from now until Monday night, all clothing and hat items in the From Within Records store are 25% off. Please make sure to use code OSU at checkout while supplies last. If you haven't had a chance to go stream the new Choice to Make single, No Coming Back, I highly suggest you do so. I love Choice to Make. I love the new record, and I'm so happy to see them working with From Within Records. It's seriously my favorite pairing. But please hit pause, go boot up your Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, whatever. Go stream the new single from Choice to Make. The record's going to be awesome. Go order it. There's an exclusive variant over at Rev. Pick one up from Within Records. It's amazing. Choice to Make, seriously, one of my favorite bands, and I owe Nate Prosciutto a lot. But if you're not following From Within Records on social media, please boot up your Instagram, your Twitter, click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band, for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing, or if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. Before we get into today's guest, I hope all of you have been enjoying the YouTube content. You know, filming the vlog stuff is fun. I just filmed a pretty funny Disney thing. It was just an unplanned thing, but went to Disney, ran into one of my best friends, Johnny. I am like very much looking forward to putting that out just because it was like a vintage Disney day for us, because things are so different now, like post pandemic. So going to Disney with Johnny that day felt like it was like an old day. It was wild, but I love doing the YouTube stuff. It's fun. But I hope all of you are enjoying it as much as I am. But for today's guest, we had to track down our good friend Jack. You may have heard of What It Takes blog. Very informative, very up-to-date, very in tune with what's going on with hardcore. It was very fun to be able to sit down and speak with them, because I've been wanting to have them on as a guest for a really long time. So I'm happy that we were finally able to sit down and have a great conversation. I love picking people's brain who are just obsessed with hardcore as I am, and someone who runs an awesome blog, who's always putting out, putting the spotlight on new bands and what's currently going on in hardcore. It's awesome. So if you're not familiar, go follow What It Takes blog on Instagram. They put up awesome stuff. I love what Jack is doing for not only their local scene, but for just hardcore in general. It's awesome. I love hardcore. And like I said, I love meeting people who are obsessed with it like I am. So please go follow What It Takes blog and then come back here, strap in, and enjoy this conversation. So please, without further ado, welcome Jack Cooper to the show. Jack, how's it going?
Going well. Just trying to wake my brain up a little bit here. I had a busy week hardcore-wise and the holiday and everything. So, but you know what? Starting off right with this podcast. So happy to be here.
Yeah, no, I'm happy you're down to do the podcast. So I'm curious about your week. We did briefly talk about it before we started recording, but you mentioned that you booked some shows. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I'll give you the whole rundown. I would say like 6 months ago, just really far ahead of time, I had my friend in Fixed View hit me up because they're going on tour of Brass Tongue. I think they just finished up a couple of days ago. They wanted to hit Roanoke again after playing last December. And so I was down for it because I think those are two bands in the Southeast that are really on the come up and people should pay more attention to. So I had that going on July 4th. And then we did a pre-show for this fest called The Floor Is Gone. It's the second year we've done it. My friend Josh Glisson books that, who's originally from either Athens or Atlanta, Georgia, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. But we did like a pre-show at my friend's house. It was pretty dope. Mostly like indie bands. And then my youth crew band played. So it was interesting. And then we had 24 bands play between Friday and Saturday at The Floor Is Gone at a warehouse without any AC. So you can imagine in 92 degree weather, very, very just heat exhaustion, just rampant there. And then yesterday, Dimension 6 played in Philly at the Envision record release. So I drove 6 hours to go see that and then drove home and now I'm here.
Yeah, that's a lot of travel and a lot of hardcore, which is awesome. I'm always stoked to hear anybody having a busy weekend with hardcore. I just went to one show over the weekend and I feel exhausted, but maybe that's just because I'm getting old.
I mean, you're a little bit older than me, but I mean, it comes, man. I mean, there was a lot of sitting down on day two of the fest, you know, just having to like replenish the liquids and just try to let the young kids dance. Being in my 30s, it's been really exhausting.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious about The Floor Is Gone. You mentioned that this was the second installment of that. And from the first to second one, could you see some sort of growth in the scene?
So I wasn't able to attend the first one, but from what I heard, I think there was growth. In general, I mean, the Roanoke scene has kind of, you know, it's fluctuated for the past like 12 or 13 years that I've been active in it. Mm-hmm. I would say right now it's the biggest it's ever been. I think we had maybe 150 paid at this warehouse. And for like a smaller regional festival, maybe it's a handful of bigger names. I think that's pretty good. It was a blast. We're really trying to maintain that like post-COVID bump and people being interested in it. We finally have like younger kids in like 16 to 20 year old range coming to shows, so just making sure that they get involved. But I would say the fest was a success. Hopefully Josh decides to do it again next year.
That's awesome to hear. Like ever since meeting Jamie Davis and hearing about Roanoke, I've always been interested and I've been rooting for that scene to do well. So being just like an onlooker for a couple of years and hearing positive things constantly about it, it's always cool for me to be able to hear about awesome stuff like The Floor Is Gone.
Hell yeah, dude. I love Jamie. I have not seen him in God knows when since he moved out to Idaho. I think he's still there. So hope he's doing well.
Same here. I'm always a big fan of him. He's not as active as he used to be on social media, which is totally fine. But whenever I do see him pop up, I always, hope he's doing well. But
oh yeah.
And for you, when did you leave Roanoke?
So, I guess it's a tough question because I guess I left in 2017. I finished undergrad at VCU in like 2015. And it took me a while to find like a job within my major, but I would realistically say I split time between being in Northern Virginia and being in Roanoke, just because like as much as I enjoy the DC scene up here and like going to shows here and in Baltimore and Richmond, I really am just kind of dedicated to trying to help keep Roanoke afloat, because like right before the pandemic happened, our scene pretty much died. I mean, there just wasn't anything there. I think the last show that me and Bailey from Dimension 6 booked was Stepping Stone from Canada came down with this Midwest band. And that was, I think, August of 2019. And that was pretty much that afterwards. It was like, no, I don't think there was a single show that I can remember until July of 2021 when I booked No Other Way and a couple local bands at a BFW. Mm-hmm.
One second. I'm having technical issues. Okay, no, we're back. Okay, and for a scene to not have shows for a long time, and then for it to kind of die off, I feel like that's like a really big challenge to try to kind of rally the troops to kind of bring something back, because definitely morale could be low. But what was it difficult when you booked that No Other Way show, or like what was the turnout like?
I think the turnout was pretty good. I mean, the VFW spot has had a handful of shows over the past couple of years. It's kind of like, not to say anything shady about it, it's like our last ditch effort if we can't find another venue, but It's reliable enough and I like the people that run it. I think if I remember correctly, it was like 50 or 60 paid, which honestly is pretty good for us at that point in time. But I think over the pandemic for us, at least from like my friends that are involved in just creative projects, because for a while we're just a city with like a few bands and not many people that wanted to go to shows. They just kept creating new projects. Before Bailey had mentioned Six, he had Ironclad, which did their demo on War Records. I started a band called Hostile Takedown, which is kind of like a Dead End Path kind of sounding band, mixed with a little bit of like thrash metal. Mm-hmm. And just some other friends of mine from like my brother's generation and younger just started making new bands. And I guess that prompted people to be interested in it. So thankfully that's kind of revived the scene and bands are just keep popping up.
Well, I hope with all these new crop of kids that are, you know, rolling out to things like The Floor Is Gone, I they get inspired and want to be more a part of the scene and start bands and keep it alive. Cause I feel like that's the most important thing, is people putting in the effort to do more instead of just showing up, which is fine. That's really awesome that people are showing out and supporting the shows. But I feel like, I wish everybody would take it a step further and do something more, right? Start a band, book a show, do a zine, podcast, whatever, just do something else. Cause I feel like that's what it takes to keep a scene alive, is for everybody to put the work in and, you know, help each other.
Yeah, and I think part of it goes into like trying to convey to younger kids that it's not necessarily easy to start a band or anything, but it's not as hard as people think. Mm-hmm. Like, I think when you're younger, you're like, oh, I don't know if I could do this, get all this equipment, learn all the, like, create songs on my own, play in front of people. But really, all it takes is just some encouragement and dedication of time, and you can do it. Like my youth crew band, I'm the oldest person in that. We started off with 2 17-year-olds and like a 20-year-old, and we're just young as fuck, man. Aside from me, I still feel young and hard, but like that's a band full of young heads that are just really inspired by like the amazing core stuff that happened in like the mid 2000s and some of the youth crew stuff and like more faster, straight up stuff that's happening now. And they brought a lot of new kids in. So I have to give major respects to my bandmates in that band.
100%. That's really important, and that's cool to hear that they, you know, brought some people in with them, because I feel like word of mouth is probably still like one of the best tools for getting people, you know, interested or even involved in hardcore. Just hearing it from their friends instead of, you know, seeing on the internet, it's cool, but it might be a little intimidating if you don't know anybody involved. So hearing it from a friend or being able to go with someone you know makes it, I honestly think like 100 times easier.
And it's a way to defeat the algorithm too, man. Talking to people is always going to be more effective when you can make it happen.
100%, because I post snippets from the podcast on TikTok all the time, and I get so many like likes from people that don't follow me, which is, you know, obviously because it's things that they're generally interested in, which is cool. That's nice that it's getting in front of people that I don't even know exist. But for the most part, that's where it ends, right? Haven't had too many people really reach out beyond that, or even follow me past that. Like I've had a couple of people, which is nice, but I feel like a lot of the times when it's coming from people that I don't know on TikTok, that's where it ends. So I do appreciate, the conversation, whether it be through email, text, DM, whatever. I think that goes a long way versus just the like, and then you scroll past and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. The likes and shares and all that are like, they matter, unfortunately, but like, it's more of, I would consider that more of the bare minimum, and then having the actual conversation, you know, sticks with you more, hopefully.
100%. Yeah, because I would like to get to know who's like supporting my stuff, right? Because I think that's really awesome that people are taking the time out of their day to support in any way that they can. So I'm always curious. So whenever people reach out, I always go out of my way to give it the time of day. I don't, you know, just brush past it, because I don't take any of that stuff for granted.
Oh yeah.
Okay, and then I'm just curious for you. When did you want to start doing bands and doing stuff more than just attending hardcore shows?
I mean, I got into hardcore towards the end of 2009. I think just for a combination of, like, since we're talking about algorithms, I just like got suggested some videos on YouTube back in the day, and it was a Sick of It All video and a Combat Kid music video for Wake the Dead, and that spurred me to get really into like going to hardcore shows, listening to hardcore, and like archiving. I think I filled up at one point like entire like hard drive of just like hard, back when like you had like the RAR files and like Zippy Share stuff, like just back in 5 days. But it was pretty quick on that I wanted to start a band. I've been in countless bands and I always front them because I have no musical ability, unfortunately. But I guess I have enough bandwidth in my head to like come up with like lyrics and stuff like that for, I guess I had to think like 40 or 50 different songs I've written in the past decade. But yeah, it's been interesting. I think for the bands that I've been involved with, you can kind of see the trajectory of where like I started off and where the scene is right now. Because I had a band called Callous that had Kenny in it, who sings for Dimension Six. And so he goes on after that band breaks up with me and the Step Off, takes a break from being in bands, and now he's back with Dimension Six. And 10 years on from that, I'm back doing bands again, booking shows and stuff. And yeah. So yeah, I've kind of always wanted to be in different bands. I'm one of those people that think that like almost every type of hardcore, there's something I can appreciate in any kind of style, whether it's like Blackened kind of stuff, Youth Crew, Beat Down, whatever. Like, I think it all has some merits to it. And if you do it right, I think it sounds good. So I just kind of exclude things.
100%. I'm a huge fan of hardcore in general, right? And, you know, all the subgenres. I think there is something for everybody, if I'm being honest. Like, it is so strange to me when I talk to people who are just so turned off by like one type of hardcore. And, and I'm just like, there's no way that there's not a band out there that, you know, will get you excited. So like when I meet those kind of people, I'm just like, all right, that's fine. If you want to ignore a certain part of hardcore, that's your thing. But I honestly feel like you're missing out.
Oh, dude, I say this to people all the time, because like I really just don't get when people have that mindset and also are like, well, there's not many bands out there that are doing this style, or there's not many interesting bands. Like, well, there's only as many bands out there as you want to dig for, you know. Like, if you just pay attention to like what's on social media and what's really popping, you're only going to have so much, and then you'll run out, and you might think that like hardcore is in some dead spot, or like everything's going to sound like Pain of Truth or Never Ending Game, and you just don't like that style. But if you look deep enough, there's bands all over the country, all over the world, that are doing stuff you probably fuck with. I mean, to me, it's just as simple as going on Bandcamp or Spotify and just searching. I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. It is crazy that people will think that there's not anything going on besides what is the most popular thing or the most hyped up thing. But it's just like, no, like pull up any fest flyer and go towards like the bottom, where like the more like unknown bands or the newer bands are at. And that's a great way to, you know, discover something if you're not familiar with. And not every band sounds the same. So that's one way to go and try to find something new. But yeah, 100%. There's every type of like subgenre of hardcore going on all at once. So for people who think that, you know, Youth Crew's dead or whatever, no, it's going on. You got to just go out and find it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, shit. I feel like East Asian hardcore scenes have been carrying Youth Crew along with like some parts of Europe for like the past 10 years. That's where all the good shit is right now for Youth Crew. And I think it's starting to peek its head back in the States, but it never died, man. Youth Crew never died.
100%. And I don't think any subgenre dies. It just becomes less popular, right? Because I always express that I've been around long enough to see every type of hardcore be the most popular thing, be the it style, and be the sound that newer people want to emulate. So I always just, you know, just wait patiently, because I obviously love you know, bands like Pain of Truth, Never Ending Game, but I'm, you know, always in anticipating what's next, like what's going to captivate the, you know, bigger scene, you know, after them.
This reminded me of something I wanted to ask you. I don't want to put you on the spot, but like, I'm curious. I've been listening to the show for a while.
Okay.
And I haven't really figured out what your favorite style of hardcore is. Like, what is, like, if you had to pick, like, what's the style that you really gravitate towards?
I like the, like, straightforward hardcore, like, you, like, little youth style, like, you know, Righteous Jam is one of my favorite bands. So I lean towards, like, that stuff, like, the First Step. Bands like that, like that's the kind of stuff that gets me excited.
Dude, I love the First Step. I wish more people talked about them. That's probably one of the first live videos I saw when they broke up. I forget what year it was, maybe 07 or 08. I watched a video of it on YouTube, and it was so weird to me at the time because I was just so young. I was like, I see people from my high school in this video, and they traveled down to this, and the dude's just going off the walls. Like, I think the guitar player or bass player at one point jumps into the crowd and like is playing a song and just doesn't miss a note. To me, that just like completely won me over. It's like, that's the most insane shit I'm ever going to see. I think I just need to see more of it. Like, that's a solid ass band.
Yeah, 100%. Like, when I think about bands like that, and I think back to like the early lineups of Sound and Fury, like if you look at like 06, 07, 08, like that shit just blows my mind that something like that like went down, and we all got to experience it. So I always encourage you know, anybody who may not be familiar with the early days of Sound and Fury, but if you go look at like those lineups and those types of bands, like, you know, Trapped Under Ice, what played in like 08 and like 09, like those early days, or maybe not 09, but definitely 08, and you look at them now, right? Like, still like one of the biggest hardcore bands, and they're coming back this year, and it's insane.
Oh yeah.
But I'm curious about you as well. Hey, you're asking me about my favorite type. I'm curious about yours, since you know so much and you love hardcore.
I guess, like, overall, like, I think the best way to do this, I'm actually just going to look live on what I've been listening to on Spotify, and I can just tell you right now. I mean,
okay.
Historically, I lean towards more of the metallic side. When I was getting into stuff, I think what really caught me, like, as a style that I really just like was 100% about, was like the 8389 Records sounding stuff. Like, I was big into Full of Hell. I really liked some of the early Harm's Way stuff. I don't know if you remember that website called Toxic Greek Funhouse. It's a lot of the stuff that was on that was like darker, more metallic. That's really probably been like historically my favorite. But I mean, right now, I think it's more of like the straightforward heavy stuff or the really fast stuff. Like, I really fuck with Downfall. I really, really like Restraining Order. It's probably one of my favorite bands going right now. Mm-hmm. And then like One by One, which is like a newer band from North Carolina, doing sort of like a Slapshot meets Sheer Terror kind of sound with Oi. Anything that's kind of fast paced and has really good breakdowns and mosh parts, I'm going to be about.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I love Restraining Order. Shout out to that band. Shout out Keith Freeman. All their new stuff that they've been putting out is so good. Like, I was always curious to see what kind of direction they would go in after the last record, but the new song that they've been putting out, I'm just like, wow, this band is still so good. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think that I don't have any fear that their record's gonna flop or anything. I think they're still fun.
100%. I feel like they're just so good in general, but I'm really curious to see if that tour that they did with Citizen has any like crossover fans, if any of those Citizen fans that might not have been familiar with Restraining Order, maybe they're like, oh cool, this band's really awesome, like, let me, like, you know, start to follow them.
I can't imagine what like a Citizen fan's head was doing when they see Restraining Order, because it's so like stripped down and straightforward. I would have loved to pick some people's brains after seeing that, just like to see what they thought of that, because like, that's, people often think that when you like play like really, really heavy music, that that's like really jarring. Mm-hmm. But to me, if you're thinking about like what's like the most DIY form of hardcore, it's more of the straightforward stuff. Like you'll see heavy stuff pick up like a lot of notice, like Knock Loose, like Terror, like bands like that, that will get recognition and like seen by more eyes. But like the stripped down stuff, like Restraining Order, that to me is like the most raw, and that probably doesn't make a lot of sense to people when they listen to it from the outside. So I'm sure brains out there.
Yeah, I'm a bit curious because back when like Warped Tour was a thing, right, there'd always be the one or two hardcore bands I would play, and I felt like a lot of the Warped Tour kids looked at those bands as like the bands to kind of like follow from like the hardcore mm-hmm. scene. But now that that doesn't exist, right, Warped Tour is not a thing anymore, I'm curious where bands go, or not bands, where people go to look for those bands that are probably outside of their typical genre of music and be like at least a little bit curious, you know.
Mm. I think there's like these different regional festivals. Like for us in near Virginia, we have like the Blue Ridge Rock Festival, which does a fairly decent job at bringing in like metal, like good metalcore and hardcore acts that are still sort of DIY. So I think those are kind of the places that people that would normally go to Warped Tour would probably go to that. And honestly, just like staying on the internet, I think you can almost find anything if you stay like active on Spotify, or you just do your due diligence and just pay attention.
Yeah, because I feel like whenever I travel to a fest, I just assume that everybody in the building is just a normal hardcore kid, because I don't know, nobody's familiar to me, right? Because if there was something going on in my own hometown, I would be able to pick out who is not local and see the, you know, people that I definitely recognize that always go to shows. But when I fly to another state and attend a fest there, I'm just like, all right, cool, like I'm the outsider, I assume everybody's from here, so this is pretty interesting. Yeah, but I am curious because there are like the big bands like you mentioned, like Knock Loose, who like still to this day like surprises me like how big they are. Because I was at Coachella, I saw Scowl, which they're awesome, right? But like during the Scowl set, I could like pick out who is actually you know, a legit Scowl fan versus like your normal Coachella goer, right? Because they just have like a certain vibe, and you know, that's fine. You know, same thing happened when I went to see like, you know, Turnover, Turnstile, when they played, same thing. But when I was watching the Knock Loose videos, it looked just insane. It looked like, you know, it was a Knock Loose show happening inside of Coachella, because just the amount of people that they packed into that tent was ridiculous. It was insane. Like I didn't even realize like that many people there were fans of Knock Loose, which is awesome. But for them to have that kind of set and that kind of reaction at a big fest like Coachella, where their type of music is like, you know, just really outside of the bubble for like the fest in general, I thought it was just really impressive and just so crazy. And I think that is just like kind of is like a testament to how popular that band is.
Oh yeah, I mean, they're really reaching the periphery of like being still underground, but like also like just mainstream in the way that like people that listen to like top 40 hits will know who they are, which is insane. Like we're in an interesting time period for hardcore. It's really just bizarre to think about.
Yeah, and I always get just a little bummed out when, you know, you'll read or see the off comments like trying to put them down for what they're doing, which I don't see what they're doing like how it can be negative in any way, right? Just because they are a hardcore band, right? Like people will argue that they're not, but I say that they are. And just because they've gotten so big and they're bringing in people that might not be familiar with their roots, it's like, you know, they might take some time to learn. Not everybody's you know, born hardcore. Maybe some people are. I wasn't. It, you know, took me a while to figure out what it was, but I don't see what they're doing is negative. I think it's positive. And bands like Knock Loose, Turnstile, Code Orange, I feel like they're just kind of shining a light down on the rest of the scene and showing everybody that, hey, like there's no ceiling to what we all can do. And for people to get upset and you know, stop supporting them, it's just strange to me.
Yeah, I will say that, like, and I think about this quite a bit. I think just because like so many bands are doing so well, I don't personally mind when bands go the distance, you know, and really try to make something for themselves, like Turnstile, Knock Loose, and Scowl. But like something I always try to pay attention to is when the band's going to that next level, like are the ethics and morals that are what make hardcore music in the community like special, are those still intact mm-hmm. when you go to that next jump? And for some bands, I think that you could probably name a few that maybe start off in hardcore just because they know that that's what's up, that's what's happening, there's a lot of attention on it, and then they jump quickly to a completely different style of music, or like use it as like a stepping stone to get somewhere else. But I think largely like the bands that are doing really well haven't done that. So I don't see a reason to diss on Turnstile or anything like that for them having a song in a Taco Bell commercial. Like, I don't give a shit. They're still hardcore people to me. They're still in other bands that are smaller and still doing stuff. I mean, I don't know. I think the criticism sometimes are, you know, scrutiny is important to have, I guess, is what a better way to sum it up. Like, it's good to scrutinize certain things once they get really big. But like, if you want to make a band your livelihood, you're going to have to go to the next level and do some things different. So like, props to them for being that successful.
You kind of lagged out there for a second.
Oh, where did it stop me?
It was just like that last bit. You're talking about going to the next level.
Oh, I was just saying that like, props to these bands for being successful. I mean, when you get to that next level, you kind of have to like break some boundaries a little bit. But like, to me, as long as they're still got their integrity intact and like they're still dedicated to the scene in some way, then like more power to them.
Yeah, and if you look at those three bands, they all still participate in hardcore. They all still give back. So the hate to me is just strange. Because I like when I see bands like that and knowing, and like for each band, right? If you look at each band and you go back to their early days, right? They were all at some point some new band that was just working hard, just like every other band, and you know, they managed to make it really big. So for people to hate on them, it's just weird to me because they all worked really hard, right? They all each have their own stories, and like I said, they all still give back to hardcore and they're still participating. So it's just something that I think is so whack, and I don't agree with.
Yeah, I don't really see the reason to be a hater. I think some people think that's kind of strange. I feel like that's almost like the go-to thing to be, is like you need to hate on something. Like, to me, like, I want to enjoy as much as I can out of hardcore. And like, unless something's really whack or like I have a personal experience with something that's like not cool, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm going to try to appreciate things and enjoy it instead of just like bashing on things for no reason, you know? It's kind of silly.
Yeah, and I just feel like I there's just not enough time in the day for me to want to spend any time or energy on hating stuff. Because trust me, there's bands that I hate, bands that I think suck, but mm-hmm. I just you know, that's where I want to leave it, right? I form my opinion. I have my you know, stance on these bands. I want to put all my time and energy to bands that I like, to bands that I want to see, bands I want to listen to. So it's just like, yeah, like for me, like that's where I like to just kind of end it. Because if I have time to waste on, you know, talking shit, posting, you know, negative stuff, it's just like that's not where I want to spend my time. Because I'm still literally to this day like fighting to try to do everything that I want to do in one day, and there's just not enough time.
Yeah, dude, you just dedicate your time to what's going to be beneficial, man. That's what it's all about.
100%, because you know, because I've got questions. You know, people always ask me like, how come I don't talk about or try to, you know, spread drama or whatever? But it's like, dude, that's what this has never been about, right? Like for all the times that I've spent sitting in this chair talking to people, I've you know, it's just not what I want to do. So I'm not trying to you know, generate you know, any more negativity, right? Because there's enough out there, and I don't want this to be the home for any of it.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's just some loser shit, man, if you're just trying to hate on stuff all the time. Like, I think there's certain instances where like you need to address things if they're very serious. And once it's addressed, you just need to move on. Because every second you waste just like lamenting over something or like talking about how much you don't like something, like you could just be using that energy to like help your friends out and like speak like truth to power about their band, you know, like, I don't know.
Okay. And I'm curious about the What It Takes blog that you run. Can you talk about how that got started? Because I always appreciate people, you know, creating any kind of outlet to help spread, you know, news or even give out information on what bands are new and people should be checking out, or even, you know, new records from established bands that come out. I always think it's awesome where there's a outlet and you could be a source for people that might not be fully in tune.
Yeah, so I guess it was kind of just like stewing in my head for a while in 2019. And just from that year, I think being pretty significant in hardcore, like I think a lot of records that I still go back to are from that year, like the Magnitude LP, the first Neg release. I think the Point of Contact record was that year too. I mean, just a lot of really great stuff came out that year. And I, in tandem with that, I had the opportunity to go overseas with a friend of mine, just for like a vacation and stuff. And I ended up going to like a more like DIY show. It was like on New Year's Eve in Wolverhampton, which is kind of near Birmingham in the UK. And I saw like two or three hardcore bands and some like indie bands and an acoustic act. And it just got me thinking about the broader world of hardcore. Cause like you can easily just stick within the confines of like the US and like what's popular within like the different like major labels like Closed Casket, Triple B, Days, and not have to bother looking at anything else outside of like the confines of the US. And so it just kind of like sat me for a little bit. And then the beginning of January 2020, I was like, I really just want to like take what I've been doing in private, which is kind of archiving releases. I've always been doing that kind of on and off. Cause I'm just fucking obsessed, I guess. And I just like to keep track of what's going on. And so I just made that Instagram account to just like share, music with people. And I think like the primary purpose of it, which I think sometimes people don't get when they look at What It Takes, is I'm not really looking at things with a personal bias. Like when I'm researching and like finding different bands through like Bandcamp or just like looking on the internet, I try to think about if this band sounds like good in the sense that like there's quality there, and if they're pulling off the style right. And even if it's something I don't particularly like if I think other people will like it, I'm going to share it. Because like I want kind of things to be on an equal platform. I think that's something that was kind of missing on the internet, because everybody has their own bias and their own friend group that they're going to promote stuff more than like others. And I just wanted to put a platform up there where like a small band from Indonesia can be in the same post that I make about like Corena or about Drain, you know, like it's an equal platform. There's like actual equity between those things, because there's someone out there that probably is going to like what I share from like a band from Australia more than maybe the Drain record, and vice versa. So like, why not share it equally and just like expose more people to more hardcore? Because it should be more interconnected too. That's the other thing I think that's always kind of bothered me, is like everyone on the outside that's like in Europe or in Asia or in Australia, they are always in tune with what's happening within the US, and most people here couldn't give a shit about what happens anywhere else, especially if it has like a language barrier attached to it. Like if it's a band that's like speaking in like French or like Spanish, like they especially don't really give a shit. So if we really want to keep the scene alive, we should just be as interconnected as we can. And I think so far since the post-pandemic, I think we've done a good, like the scene in general has done a good job at that. I think we're having more international bands coming over here, like Speed being over here all the time is amazing. They have that tour coming up, not Speed, but this band Disorden and Arma X is touring with Raw Brigade and Dead Heat. Those are two bands from Spain that are coming over. It's fucking awesome, dude. I'm loving it.
100%. And shout out to like things like Scheme Records. They have their compilation From Within Records with their comp and putting on international bands. I think that's like a great way to showcase some international talent, because I remember I was listening to the Scheme Records comp, and there's a band on there called Mortal Form. And I was like, who the hell is this band? How have I never heard of them? So I reached out to some people and found out that they're not even from the States. Because I assumed they're from somewhere here in America. Come to find out that they're not. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. So I'm always interested in international hardcore, right? Because I feel like the hardcore in the U.S. is awesome. And I feel like that's way more accessible for me, right? Because I have so many friends across the country that I can reach out to be like, hey, like, what's going on in your area? Like, you know, put me on. But when it comes to the international stuff, I feel like that's where it's like a little more difficult, because there are like a few bands and people that I follow. Like, there's a band called Speedway who I think are amazing, and I feel like just their sound, like I am so surprised that like more people don't talk about that band, because I feel like they, like, everything that they've put out has been perfect, and they would do well in the States, but it's just the fact of getting to the States is the hard part, right? So I'm always interested in to international hardcore, and it's always interesting too when you know people who have left the country, right, and are like shacked up in places like Poland, and you can kind of get the feel for like what their scene has going on at the current moment. So it's very interesting to me, and I'm always curious, right? Because yeah, it is true when, like, I honestly feel like the majority of the scene outside of the U.S., like, if they're not a band on a big level like Speed, people people just won't really care or even know. So I feel like there are, you know, bands that are just as good as Speed out there. People just, you know, have to figure it out, or maybe they have to kind of come to America and make their mark.
Yeah, and I think part of that solution could be just like having more maybe booking entities in the States that are dedicated to bringing over international bands, because tons of that exists in Europe, where you can bring over like a slightly above average band, so like a legendary US band, and they can go to Europe maybe sometimes right off of a demo or an EP. But like, I feel like if you're a European band, you have to be like two or three LPs deep and like have gone to like a bigger label in the US to even think about doing half a US tour or like select dates. So we just need to maybe devote more time and try to get these kind of bands over, because something that I think separates the more international hardcore releases from the US, and it's not like a complete generalization, because there's definitely bands in the US that have like the fire in their gut, but like if you're in a place in the world where you can't easily access hardcore and you really have to fight for it to be in a band, to build your scene, that passion is going to bleed through into the music no matter what style it is. And to me, that's the most contagious part of hardcore, is seeing people's passion come to the surface. Like, nothing brings me more joy than watching a band really pop off and then seeing people just diving and moshing and really expressing themselves and having a great time. And especially if the band's really living it on stage and there's happy to be playing, that's awesome. And I think that's something that's really evident and more prominent overseas, because it's not saying hardcore is more of a rarity, but there's different barriers for them. You know, like they're kind of stuck to either their own country or continent and they really can't get out. So I want some of that passion to kind of come over to the States and maybe just reignite some people here.
100%. I feel like because there's been bands like what I think about like back in the day, like bands like No Turning Back, right? If you think about where they're from, and for them to have been able to come to the U.S. multiple times and hit it hard, I think that's a testament to what kind of impact they can have on the U.S. market. Because here we are in 2023, and I know those guys are still involved in hardcore out where they're from, but for me to still, you know, be such a fan for what they did here, just to make it out here. And the music that there was awesome. I think it's awesome, and I wish more bands were able to get out here and showcase that not only their international scene, you know, has talent, but you know, there's more of it out there.
Yeah, I just started thinking about something as you were talking, because I was thinking back to FYA. It's like a really good example. When Bob put Echo Chamber from Germany on the FYA lineup, mm-hmm. and now you're seeing, I think next, 2 months from now, I think it's that Triple B Days like hybrid kind of festival that's happening in New York. They're coming back again. You know, like that was just a wise move. I've been privy to Echo Chamber for a while. They had one of the better breakaway sets from that fest, and now they're coming back. I mean, I think it's an investment that, because Bob, I think out of people that like, and I don't know Bob on a personal level, but people that I look out for that like know what's up, like, you know what's up, I feel like, with hardcore and newer shit. Bob has a good eye. And like, if people like that can just I guess make an investment or take a little bit of risk and bring bands over, I think it pays off.
100%. And I feel like I wish more fests would take those kinds of chances, right? Because I always praise Bob on his ability to book that fest with like the current flavor of what's going on in hardcore, right? He has you know, like his like ear to the ground. He knows what's going on. So for him to book a band like Echo Chamber on that fest and to put them in front of this you know, audience that, like, you know, obviously a lot of like local people from Tampa, but the majority of the people are flying in from all over the world to that fest. So for him to be able to put them on that kind of stage and, you know, get them that exposure, I think it's awesome. And when I look at other fests and I look at their lineups, and I just feel like there's so many missed opportunities on not even just international bands, but just younger bands on the come up that aren't getting those same opportunities, which is fine. You know, like, I get it. You know, people are going to be screaming, oh, like, if you're not happy with the lineup, book your own fest, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, whatever. Like, if I'm not happy, I'm just like, you know, just going to go to the ones where I feel like are doing the scene justice, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and just to give the people that put on fest a little bit of grace, I mean, you can't book every up and coming hot band. You know, you only have a certain allocation of like funds and space on the lineup to put bands on. But like, that would be my suggestion for people that get up in arms about certain bands not being on bills. Is like, there's literally dozens of fests at different levels happening across the states. You can find one that serves your interests or like makes you hyped, and you can go to that one and not go to the one that you're complaining about. You know, like, I don't know. There's no room to complain for me. Like, you can go, there's literally a fest every month. You can go to Flyover this year. 2 months after that, you can go to FYA. The list just goes on. I mean, yeah.
100%. And yeah, I'm looking forward to traveling to some new stuff coming up. So, like, you know, because obviously, like, I love FYA. I love going to Philly. But to be able to have some things that I'm looking forward to in the future that I've never done before in terms of hardcore, I'm like pretty excited and just curious to see. Because, right, because I always walk into these things just ready to soak up the experience and, you know, see the scene. Because I've always been curious about how other scenes operate ever since I first got into hardcore, trying to figure out how things run here locally, and then, you know, stumbling across DVDs like Boston Beatdown Volume 2, and just seeing you know, how cool you know, bands like, you know, Ramallah, Blood for Blood, Column of Arabia, Converge, all that stuff, how like their scenes were in like their younger days. So for me here in 2023 and still being able to travel to scenes I've never been to and experience new stuff and still get excited about it, I think that's like one of my favorite parts of still being involved in hardcore.
Can you speak on any of the plans of stuff that you're doing that are going to be new?
All I can say is I'm going to Columbia in December, but I can't say, I can't say anything past that, cause it's not even announced. But I'm going to Columbia in December, and it's hopefully a good time. I'm, you know, cause I've, you know, have friends who have gone before. And I wanted to go last year with them, but I just couldn't make it work with my work schedule and, you know, time off, whatever. But this year I've actually like allocated time to like, yo, like I want to go because of all the positive things that I've heard from all my other friends who have gone. So I'm just like, all right, I got to make it a point to go. So this is something that I'm definitely doing at the end of the year.
Oh yeah. I'm jealous, man. Outside of anything like hardcore related that's happening there, I just want to try the coffee. I hope you get a chance to try some like really authentic Colombian coffee.
Yo, I'm like, I've like grown into like a coffee snob just because of just the weird circumstances, whatever. Like the coffee shop that I go to down the street from where I live is like, I argue, the best coffee shop in the world. So whenever I go to like a new coffee spot or these new spots that pop up all the time on TikTok, that's like the standard. I'm like, all right, it's, how does this stack up to the coffee shop that I go to? And I always try to be non-biased, because if there's a better cup of coffee out there, I'm willing to go give it its praise, right? Because no one can, you know, stay at the top forever, but for the past like 2 to 3 years, the shop that I go to, shout out Insight Coffee, I feel like they serve the best cup of coffee. So if anybody is curious, if you ever come to Orange County, hit me up. I'll take you there and we can test it out. And whenever I take my friends there for the first time, I like to pay for them just in case they don't like it. I don't want them to feel like they've wasted their money. Because that's the thing that I hate most, is like when you go buy food or something and you don't enjoy it and you feel cheated. So whenever I take my friends there, I like to buy them the first cup. Just so in the event that they don't like it, because I've ran into people who say that they aren't a fan, which is totally fair. You know, at least I can walk away not feeling like they wasted their money.
Yeah, no, that's a gentleman move. And I feel like for where I am, most of the time in Northern Virginia, there's so many different coffee shops up here. There's like so much different cultures. Like, I feel like every step I take, I can either hit like a French pastry shop that has coffee, or like a Japanese shop that has like really high grade like matcha drinks. It's just that's the one thing I do like living up here, is I can probably, I still haven't even hit maybe like a fourth of the coffee shops that are up here. Yeah. And I've been here on and off for like 5 years, so.
Okay. And do you like the on and off schedule, or would you like to have like a home base that's like full time?
I think eventually I would. I mean, for right now, I'm just trying to progress through life, I guess, a little bit. I'm still in the process of working on a master's degree at Virginia Tech. They have a campus in Arlington, so I guess I'm like halfway through that. And then I'm just in one of those places where I still want to be really like center around like hardcore and try to provide for the scene back in Roanoke. Mm-hmm. And kind of torn between that and also like becoming more of an adult. So I guess until I make a decision on what to do and finish school, I'm fine with bouncing back and forth for another year or two.
And what's the scene like up where you're at now?
Oh, in DC?
Yeah, because I'm a huge fan of Grand Scheme.
Oh yeah, dude, Grand Scheme kicks some ass. Mm-hmm. I finally got to see them the other day. They, I think it was a month ago, they played the kickoff show for Brain Tourniquet on their US tour.
Okay.
And that was really sick. I think the scene up here is like, I guess it's doing well. It's an interesting scene to kind of be around, because I think from like a more of an outsider's perspective, since I haven't grown up or lived in like DC proper, I feel like it's kind of very insular. Like, there's a lot of stuff that happens and it doesn't get promoted that well. It's more like, if you know, kind of stuff that happens. And I think until recently this year, there hadn't been that many bands, but aside from Grand Scheme, you have like Full Circle. That's another band that's doing really cool shit. PSYOP, a couple of other stuff that's more on like the metal and grind side, but I think it's doing pretty well. But if I have my preference, because I mean, I'm so close to many different scenes, I usually tend to go down to Richmond or Baltimore. I feel like those are the two spots that are really popping right now.
Okay, shout out Richmond. I know you have some family down there. Shout out.
Yes, shout out Brett.
Shout out Brett. And I'm happy for Dimension 6, seeing that their demo's being put out through From Within Records. I think that's a cool fit. I know those guys were really into the Dimension 6 demo, so to see that announcement, I think it's really awesome.
Yeah, I think I'm just really proud of all the guys in that band, because the dynamic of that band's kind of interesting, that you have Brett Bailey and the drummer Tyler. They've kind of been jamming together in different projects on and off for about 4 or 5 years now. And I know that Bailey's been really cooking on these riffs for maybe about two. Mm-hmm. And just to see him kind of overcome some of the obstacles of having different lineup changes of what this band will end up being, and then finally getting outside recognition is crazy. I mean, the band members there, they don't all live in Roanoke. They're kind of spread out throughout the state, and some of them aren't even from Roanoke. But like, it feels validating that people are actually like looking at a band where they're not coming from like this really hot like scene, you know, like they're almost kind of like underdogs. Like I think Bailey and Brett probably mentioned in the episode we review about like just random people not knowing who was in that band saying that the band was good. Like I feel like that's kind of the history of the Roanoke scene and anything that's kind of outside of Richmond or Virginia Beach and Virginia. Like if you don't belong to those two scenes, it's very easy to get overlooked. And so I think it's fantastic that they're finally getting their what's due to them. To me, I mean, they've been grinding for a long time, so mad respect to everyone in that band.
100%. Yeah, I'm so happy for them. But I am a fan of bands from Richmond. Like obviously, got to see them a couple times, and I'm still a huge fan of that Richmond Vampire band, which I can't cannot get enough of that band. When I listen to their demo that they just put up not too long ago, it's just, man, so sick. And then obviously bands like Downfall, Killing Pace, super sick bands. I feel like Richmond's always had a good scene for as long as I've been running hardcore and just kind of following from over here in California. I feel like there's always been good stuff coming out of there.
Yeah, I think if you live in the South, the epicenters for hardcore are in Richmond and Atlanta. And like Richmond has always been hot ever since I've been into it. I mean, I came in around the time that like Naysayer was coming up. And so like seeing them Down to Nothing when they were still really active, Race War, Swamp Thing, like they've always been hot. They never miss. And I think in the past year or so, I think they've reached some really significant milestones as far as like attendance numbers going to their shows and like just newer bands popping up. I feel really fortunate for being from Virginia and having that scene so close by, because like when stuff wasn't happening in Roanoke or like maybe some tours passed over, I could always go to Richmond to go see. So I'm just very thankful that people like Ace, who still books there, even though he's out in California, like still putting that stuff on. And then now Bailey and my friend Chris are putting on shows down there. So it's great. Hopefully people aren't forgetting about this place and Richmond in general. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned Swamp Thing. Like one of my favorite memories is it was Sand and Fury 2009. Swamp Thing was playing, and I remember at the time, my friends were so hyped up on Naysayer, right? Because they were a newer band at the time, and Swamp Thing was setting up, and we started seeing some people walk through the crowd with like these Naysayer tank tops, and I'm like, yo, how sick would it be if like Naysayer played? So I didn't even know who these people were or even are to this day, but I was just like, yo, like what's up with Naysayer? And I remember them telling me and my friends, they're like, yo, like if you like Naysayer, just make sure to stick around after Swamp Thing plays. That's all we're gonna say. And then sure enough, like Naysayer hopped up and they played a couple songs, and I was just like, holy shit, that was like my first time seeing Naysayer. And it was such a cool moment, because like being a fan of Swamp Thing and then being so hyped up on Naysayer and not even knowing that they're going to do like a surprise set, I just thought it was like so cool, and something that like still, like I said, to this day, back from 2009, still sticks with me. And just even seeing Naysayer on a flyer the other day, I was like, damn, that's so sick that they're at least still doing stuff every now and then.
Yeah, that's one of those bands that I hope always sticks around. I think there's too many examples of bands that have like lived past their prime and just should call it a day. Mm-hmm. But every time I see Naysayer, they always put on a great performance. I saw them earlier this year at the Speed Show when they played in Baltimore, and it was just fucking small. I mean, Gary's a solid frontman. They really carry Richmond, and like people still give a shit about him. The one thing I will say, and I think it's just so bizarre to me, I feel like people outside of like the DMV, like the DC, Maryland, Virginia area, I feel like they've forgotten how sick Naysayer is. And I think it's like a disservice. Like in my mind, when you're hearing like Naysayer tracks playing, people should be going off. Like you're seeing terror or some shit. Like that's the reaction I think they deserve. And I don't think they get it all the time. And it's not even their fault. I think it's just like reality of living and being a band right now, when there's like literally hundreds of bands on the East Coast playing shows. You know, like it's hard to compete and like really preserve the older stuff that's still pumping.
And shout out to Baltimore. I love End It. I think that band, just even like, you know, on record they're awesome, right? But even seeing them live, I feel like they always put on just such a awesome performance, and just they sound so good live. Because, you know, sometimes like, you know, when bands, you know, don't really translate that well to a live setting, but I feel like with End It, they kill it every time.
Oh yeah, and you get like Jive Bomb, Doubt, so many other bands there. Also, shout out to Ethan, who books like a lot of the shows up there. He's a madman. I feel like he's in at least half the bands that are current in Baltimore, and he's just booking nonstop and crazy. He's like only 22 years old too, so like props for him for having all that energy to not only be in Jive Bomb, but like hold up his end on the booking stuff as a younger dude. So respect.
Yeah, and I got a buddy out there. He's doing his solo thing. He goes by Eulogy. He used to play in this awesome band called Drip. They had a sick ass demo for anybody who's familiar. So I always like to shout him out because I know he's out there doing this thing, always working hard at his craft. So for anyone who's curious, who's from the Baltimore area, check out Eulogy.
Oh yeah, that's new to me, so I'm about to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm curious because, you know, speaking with your brother before this, and he's been like a big supporter of yours and always recommending me have you on the podcast, which, you know, I wanted to. So I'm happy that this worked out. But he's always talking about how you're so obsessed with hardcore. You know so much. But, you know, for current state of hardcore, I'm curious, like, who are some of your favorite bands going on right now?
Glad you mentioned that, man. I'm going to tell you some really insane numbers here. I'm going to pull up. I have a Google document.
Okay. Interesting.
I counted the other day, and it still needs to be updated for June, just because I had some, I do a political job up here in Nova. So like that was around the time of like our special election. So I had to like focus more on my actual paying job than like what it takes stuff. But there's about 500 releases that I have on attention to so far, so that includes international stuff, so
that's a lot. Because when I think about what I listen to daily, it's like goddamn, 500, that's a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, man. Once I updated, I imagine if I had to predict just from like trends from the past couple of years, I think I'm probably going to get towards like 1200. And to me, it's all like quality solid shit.
Okay.
And it's also, and before I get into like the bands that I'm fucking with, it's also to me not like a lot. Like you spread out 1,200 bands around 50 countries. I mean, I think it makes sense. I mean, that's a reasonable amount of music. But as far as stuff that I've been really fucking with, let's see what I got here. I think as far as like the hardcore punk sounding stuff, a lot of people have been talking about that Speed Plans record, Statues of God. They're out of Philadelphia. Okay. Really, really promising stuff. I know a lot of the like punk older heads from Roanoke have really pushed it, and that's how I found out about it. Really fantastic shit. Obviously, like the Wreckage album that came out on Scheme, Our Time, fantastic, beautiful record. In terms of like youth crew kind of sounding stuff, there's a band called Engage from Australia. They put out an album called 8 Songs on Last Ride.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar. Really
good stuff.
I said I'm familiar.
Oh, of the band?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. No, I'm glad to hear that. I was about to say that that's probably something that's up really up your alley. See if I can find something a little bit more current and give you like two or three more. There's a band that I was talking about with Spencer from Vancouver called Delinquent. They put out something called Serve and Neglect. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised by that. I think I was kind of like put off by the art, but when I listened to it, really just brutally heavy stuff, like beat down kind of oriented. I really fucked with it. There's some California shit I want to touch on. I'm just trying to figure out where the hell it is. This thing just spans forever. And it's a color coded. There's just like so much. If you could see it, it just blows your mind, man.
Yeah, it's nice to be organized.
Yeah, I need to get it better organized. I have a couple. While I'm finding some more bands, I have to help like me manage stuff and try to like expand on what it takes stuff, because I want to do things at like a higher caliber if I can. I got some people that are in my youth crew band that are like really young and really into like archiving and like what I'm about, and so they're kind of helping me get situated. Hopefully, I'll get an actual website coming up sometime soon. Yeah, here's two more. I think I've decided on what it is. There's a band out of Knoxville, Tennessee called Melee.
Melee. That's a cool name.
Yeah, that's some real deal. Just like they're doing like the beatdown stuff, right? Like there's a level or tempo and beatdown where you're playing kind of slow enough to where it gets cheesy. Mm-hmm. They found like what can be the slowest you can play in certain parts without it like sounding corny. And you just want to beat ass. That's a band I'm actually booking next month too at Roanoke. So I'm really excited to have them. And you know, I think one of my favorite releases of the year is like just like a more mainstream thing. And I'll be real, like I was not a fan of Tsunami at all until the LP this year.
Interesting.
I really enjoy that for some reason. I've listened to it when I work out and run, and I'll just play it front to back. It's just one of those records that I don't want to pick and choose a song that I like more than the others. I think it's just a solid piece of work all the way through. So major props to them for turning kind of a low-key hater of Tsunami into a big fan of them. So I always like when a band can do that to me, where I go from being just kind of dismissive or uninterested to being like a super fan. So
I feel like they're a special band, and to watch how they've just taken the whole world by storm is really awesome. So, you know, from booking their own full US tour and having like every show sell out, to going to Australia. They just wrapped up the Triple B takeover in Europe. And it's just so cool, because for me, being from California, but obviously like I'm on the opposite end, but to watch a band like theirs from their scene just rise up and just do it, I think just do it their own way, I think it's really awesome. And to be able to have had some of those people on the podcast and just be able to talk to them, they've always been nothing but nice. So I'm just such a fan of what they're doing and who they are as people. So I'm very happy to see the kind of success that they're having with that band.
Oh yeah, and I'm really, really itching to see them live again. I think my favorite track on that LP is Dirty Work. Something about that just like really just gets me going. And I think what honestly like started me want to pay attention to them was they did a cover of Animosity on the promo, I think last year. Mm-hmm. And that was a band, for some reason, all the people in my age range when we were going from like our metalcore phase to hardcore was really lauded as being just like insanely like important band. So like I listened to Animosity all the fucking time when I was younger. And so like once I heard that, I think I made the connection of like maybe what they're kind of going for in the future. I was like, okay, I can see this kind of style, and like it's not just like a beatdown band or like a band that's like not super serious. Cause I mean, not to say they're a joke band, but like they're not like I think you know I'm getting that. Lost for words for a second, but like,
yeah, no, I feel like in the beginning it was a little more like tongue in cheek with the "you're a bitch," yeah. And you know,
now people are all for it. I mean, I definitely think the Tsunami LP is probably going to be in my top five, not my top three for this year. So we'll see what moves it, though. There's still plenty months left.
100%. That's awesome. That's a great list. I'm very curious about that Melee band. I got to add them to list of bands that I got to check out.
Yeah, you definitely do so, man. I think they've only played two or three shows. And I just have a lot of faith in that. That's another scene that I was involved in briefly when I was going to school in Tennessee. I just had really shit grades, and I only got into two schools, which is Marshall University over in Huntington, West Virginia, and then East Tennessee State in Johnson City. So I opted to go to Tennessee. It's a little bit closer. Mm-hmm. And the Knoxville scene at that point was really popping. I got to see a lot of great bands. I don't know if you remember this band, Will to Die. They used to be from there. I think the singer of that band plays guitar now in Bitter End. So really cool shit that was happening there from like 2010 to 2015. But Melee and these other guys out there, they're reviving the Knoxville scene. And I'm really happy about that.
That's awesome. Especially such a, you know, big city, you know, a lot of music out there. I'm surprised that, you know, it has to have a revival.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting for Tennessee, just for, like, from what I know. I mean, the major scenes there are in like Nashville and Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. And everything else kind of like, there's stuff going on. There's a couple of like smaller, like satellite scenes of like suburbs outside of Nashville that have stuff going on. There's a few Memphis bands, and now Knoxville, I think, is going full swing. They even had their own local festival where I think it was just mostly like Knoxville or East Tennessee bands. Mm-hmm. That played for like a day or two. And I thought that was really remarkable. That's like honestly the biggest power move. Like, if you really want to revive your scene, just like make a show of all locals and just pack everybody out. And this like creates some unity. I tried doing that at a local showcase in Roanoke not too long ago. I managed somehow to get 150 people out to a show, which for us, that's like an insane number. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever reached a number like that to my knowledge. So like, that's just the move, man. I mean, if you're trying to restart a scene, just make connections within your scene. Don't try to be too divisive. Like, especially if you're a smaller scene, there's no reason to have like these splintering factions. You should try to like be more unified, you know what I'm saying? It's not like if you're in California or New York, like you could have these different separate scenes of people doing certain styles, and it's almost not even like overlapping. But like if you're in Knoxville or Roanoke or like somewhere small in the South, like you just kind of have to like bite the bullet and just be one.
100%. I feel like unity could go a long way. Right. It always blows my mind like why it's such a hard thing. But then I start to think it's like maybe it's like crabs in a bucket type thing. Like other people don't want to see other people succeed, which I can get. You know, maybe you feel a certain type of way if your band's not as popular as another band. But I feel like if there's a band that's, you know, out there popping, very, you know, popular, doing stuff, I feel like it's a good thing for your scene, right? Especially if they're repping it and, you know, spreading the word. You know, you shouldn't be a hater towards that. You should appreciate that.
Oh yeah. Dude, I think in the past, the Roanoke scene was guilty of that, and I was guilty of that myself. Mm-hmm. But like, I can't sit here and be jealous of like Brett and his band for like being really good. Like, I'm really happy for them. Like, honestly, like I have my own bands that are at different levels of, right now, it was like trying to make music or like get our name out there. And like, I just want us all to succeed. If you have a good head on your shoulders and you like care about hardcore and you're from Roanoke, I want you to fucking succeed. That's just, it is what it is. Like, not everybody can be in a band that's going to like reach really high levels, but like, you can always have some sort of responsibility in the scene or some sort of like dedication to it. And as long as you're having fun and you're not like a shithead, I think you should be able to support one another, you know?
100%. Well, I appreciate you coming on the podcast today, Jack. This has been really awesome. I'm happy to be able to finally talk to you, right? Because obviously we're friends on social media, but to be able to sit here and pick your brain and hear about, you know, hardcore from your perspective. It's been awesome. So I appreciate you taking the time to do this today. But before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
A few things. And I have a final question for you, because I just needed it. Since you asked me what are some of my favorite things, I guess I'll start with that. What are like five of your favorite things that have come out this season so far, still on like your rotation?
Okay. One is a band that you mentioned, Wreckage, right? I feel like they set the mm-hmm. tone for the whole year. So shout out to Wreckage. I feel like they're an awesome band. I've been such a big fan of theirs. There's a newer band from out here called Anti, which they just put mm-hmm. out a demo. Like, so definitely check them out. I've had the opportunity to see them live, and I think they're really awesome. They have a lot of potential. There's a band called Twist of Cain. They just put out some new yep. songs, so I'm really pumped on them. There's a band from Cleveland called Frenzy, who I'm pretty hyped on.
I still really love that release. It's so great.
Yeah. So I'm really pumped on them. And then there's also a band from Cleveland as well called Live It Down, which I mm-hmm. which I can't get over. That band is so sick. So those are some of my favorite things that have come out this year. But also there's like you know, a ton of other great bands. Like I feel like the thing that I listen to most these days is probably the No Pressure LP. I feel like that mm-hmm. thing is just perfect, which it blows my mind, like how good that record is. But also I have to split time between K-pop too, because I'm heavy into the K-pop, going to a bunch of K-pop shit, and there's constant, like, the amount of like hardcore bands that are popping up, there's just as many K-pop groups that are popping up that I'm trying to, you know, stay up to date with, which is takes up some time.
And oddly enough, I'll leave this as like maybe a cliffhanger. I think from watching and listening to like the podcast, I didn't think I was going to like K-pop, but I think I'm slowly coming around to it.
Okay.
I didn't think in a million years. I was thinking, it's like, there's no fucking way I'm going to like K-pop. Like, I just like listened to you talk about it. It's like, sound like kind of neat, but like, I don't think it's my thing. But I have to hit you up just off air about like what I've like found into listening to. It's been neat. I can't really explain why it makes sense to me now, but it just kind of does.
Okay.
But yeah, so thank you for that, for subliminal messages of getting me into K-pop music.
No problem. You're not the only one.
It's a slow wave. I'm sure you're going to convert more people. But I guess it's like a final note. Yeah, just follow What It Takes on Instagram. Like I said a little bit earlier, I'm hoping to get a website up. I'm wanting to kind of move and do more interview style stuff too. Like I had my friend Jack and Anderson, they went down to the Ends of Sanity record release yesterday, did an interview or two, saw Heaven's Die play for the first time in quite some time. And I'm hoping to like kind of like keep interviewing people and kind of really focusing more on specific scenes, because I think that's something that's really interesting to me, is just like uncovering scene history. Because everyone knows a lot about like some of the West Coast stuff, like California, New York, Boston, DC, but like, I really want to know what like makes these little, like the smaller scenes, like operate in like their own history. So be on the lookout for more stuff like that. And then if anyone wants to play Roanoke, just hit my line. I'm trying to book as much as I can in Roanoke, and there's people down there that can book it if I can't make it down. So holler at me if you're trying to get a date.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time today, Jack. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back soon. Goodbye.